our sermon series. Here at Heritage for the month of December has been titled, It's All About Jesus. And I deliberately use the same sermon title week after week. I don't know if anybody noticed, but I deliberately use the same sermon title week after week for each different sermon. I was not intentionally being lazy when it came to sermon titles. I was trying to be strategic. I was hoping that eventually it would get across the message that everything that I had to say was indeed all about Jesus. We in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, the denomination that our local church is a part of, in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, we have a logo or a symbol that we use that helps us to remember the centrality of Christ that we boldly declare. Jesus indeed is our Savior. Jesus is our sanctifier. Jesus is our healer. And Jesus is our coming King. Thinking about Jesus as our Savior is particularly appropriate at Christmas time. In Luke chapter 2 that I read from just moments ago, when the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds to announce the birth of the baby Jesus on that first Christmas day, what did the angel say? Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, it talks about the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was sent to be the Savior of the world, to rescue us from the fires of hell, and instead, to take us to be with Him in paradise, in heaven. Now, if you are here this evening and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I strongly urge you, strongly encourage you not to leave this building tonight before you settle that issue. And to help you, we have this little booklet. It's really a magazine of sorts titled Knowing Jesus Personally. In the main entryway, there's a welcome booth. That's where you'll find extra bulletins that I mentioned just moments ago. You'll find lots of copies of this excellent, excellent resource. On page 31, it talks about beginning your relationship with Jesus. And it walks through step by step how that can become a reality for you this evening. You see, the Bible makes it clear that we must make a decision. We must make a personal, individual decision to ask Jesus to be our Savior. And no sitting on the fence will do. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me." We might think there's a middle ground there somewhere, but there is not. He who is not with me is against me. Before you leave this building tonight, make sure that you are with Jesus and that Jesus is with you. Jesus is your Savior. But Jesus not only wants to be your Savior, He also wants to be your sanctifier. And to be sanctified simply means to be set apart as holy or set apart as pure. And Jesus wants to help us in this life here on earth to be separated from wickedness and evil and sin. And He wants to help us be completely and wholeheartedly dedicated to God as we yield and surrender ourselves to the filling of the Holy Spirit. And again, if you're not sure what it means, this whole sanctification business means being filled with the Holy Spirit, this little magazine will help you. Page 49, Power for Living. In addition to some magazine articles and personal testimonies, there's really four Bible studies near the end. And Power for Living will essentially walk you through a little blue booklet we often make available to our congregation. Have you made the wonderful discovery of the Spirit-filled life? It's all reprinted here in this little magazine. And as we are being filled and controlled with the Holy Spirit, we will see more of what the Apostle Paul called the fruit of the Spirit, being genuinely evident and authentic and manifested in our lives. We will experience more and more of God's love and His joy and His peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control taking charge. Jesus, our sanctifier. But Jesus not only wants to be our Savior, not only wants to be our sanctifier, He also wants to be our healer as well. In Isaiah chapter 53, speaking of Jesus dying on the cross, it says that He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. By His wounds we are healed. As I pointed out last Sunday morning, there is no denying that one of the major ministries that Jesus had when He walked here on earth some 2,000 years ago, one of the major ministries He had was a healing ministry. We know that because of the 35 recorded miracles in the Gospels, 28 of those 35, or 80%, were healing miracles. With over 150 references in the Bible to divine healing, it certainly is a major theme that runs throughout these pages, cover to cover. Jesus, our Savior, Jesus, our Sanctifier, Jesus, our Healer. But we also celebrate and declare the fact that Jesus will be the coming King. And that is mostly what I want to focus on this evening. Jesus, our coming King. In Acts chapter 1, we're told that after His resurrection from the dead, lost my place here. After His resurrection from the dead, Jesus appeared to the apostles and to many others over a period of about 40 days, giving them many convincing proofs that He was indeed alive. And on one occasion, He ate with them, and then He told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And those who were gathered with Him, they got all excited and they asked, "Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Listen to what Jesus had to say. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After He said this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid Him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as He was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. And listen to verse 11. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who's been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen Him go into heaven." This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. My friends, Jesus is coming back one day to reign and to rule as our king. Now, the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas are known as the 4 weeks of Advent. The word Advent simply means arrival or coming. And for the first few 100 years of Christianity, churchgoers really did not celebrate Christmas. And so there was no Advent and no Advent activities either. But when Christians did start celebrating Christmas in the 4th century, it didn't take very long for someone to suggest that maybe it would be a good idea to have a little bit of preparation leading up to Christmas, just to help us make that celebration even more special. Hence, the arrival of the Advent season. And very early as the Advent activities began to form, there was a dual emphasis that people were encouraged to make. They were encouraged, of course, to celebrate the first Advent or first coming of Christ at Christmas time. But people were also encouraged to contemplate and to prepare for the promised second Advent, the promised second coming of Christ yet to take place in the future. I believe that dual emphasis at Advent needs to be recaptured. Yes, let's celebrate the first Advent or first coming of Christ at Christmas. But while we are doing that, let us also keep in mind that there is coming a day when a glorious second advent, a glorious second coming of Christ that we have to look forward to. Consider these facts. For every prophecy concerning the first advent or first coming of Christ to earth, there are 8 prophecies concerning the second advent or second coming of Christ. Did you catch that? For every one prophecy about the first advent, which we are celebrating this weekend, there are 8 looking forward to the second advent, second coming of Christ. Of the 27 books of the New Testament, 23 of them reference the second coming. In fact, 1 out of every 30 verses in the New Testament speak of Christ's return. And someone has done the math, and they have calculated that the second coming of Christ is mentioned 318 times in the New Testament and 1,832 times in the Old Testament, which adds up to 2,150 references in the Bible concerning the promised return of Jesus. So the second advent, the second coming of Christ, is not just hinted at in the Scriptures. It is highlighted in neon flashing lights in the Scriptures. Jesus is indeed coming again. The great reformer Martin Luther used to say, "I live as though Jesus Christ died yesterday, rose again today, and is coming again tomorrow." I love that. In fact, I have a little 8.5 by 11 kind of poster on the door of my study, the door of my office. "I live as though Jesus Christ died yesterday, rose again today, and is coming again tomorrow." Living as though Jesus had died just yesterday would surely fill our hearts with a deep sense of gratitude for the enormous sacrifice that Jesus offered on our behalf. Living as though Jesus rose from the grave just this morning would surely fill us with joy and great rejoicing. And then living as though Jesus were returning tomorrow would surely infuse us with tremendous hope and would help us to make sure we are making the most of absolutely every moment we have between now and then. Dr. Keith Bailey, commenting on the early church that met during the first few centuries after Christ, said this, and I quote, "Every assembly of the early church was a celebration of the coming of the Lord. This practice needs to be revived. How would today's evangelical church stand up if it were evaluated as the waiting community? Do our assemblies celebrate the fact that the King is coming soon?" My friend, are you celebrating the fact that the King is coming soon? In the midst of our celebration of the first advent of our Savior, are you also looking forward with anticipation to the promised second advent, the second coming of Christ? Dr. Bailey also said this, "You know you are getting dull spiritually when you are not waiting with joyful expectancy." Oh, may the Lord help us to be watching and waiting with joyful expectancy as we properly celebrate Advent this year. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much that we have the opportunity to celebrate the first advent, the first coming, the first arrival of our Savior. I pray that you help us to do that well. But in the midst of all of our celebrations this weekend, pray that you would also just continue to remind us there's more to come. In this sin-sick, twisted world in which we live, there's coming a day when all wrongs will be made right. There's coming a day when true justice will prevail. There's coming a day when Jesus Christ will take his rightful place on the throne of the universe, ruling and reigning as every knee bows in submission to him. Oh, how we'd long for that day. Help us to be watching, to be waiting with joyful expectancy. In Jesus' name.